The Novi Peskel prophesied the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash, and he says that although the Bnei Yisrael will be sent to the Golos, they won't have the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. Nevertheless, the Ohel Lahem HaMikdash Miyad, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will see to it that they'll have a miniature Beis HaMikdash there in Bavel. What miniature Beis HaMikdash did they have in Bavel? So the Gemara and Megillah, in the list of the Marmikram, is the first one. The Marmikram understands that the Pasuk is referring to Bati Kamsiyas and Bati Midrash HaShadibavim. This refers to the shuls and the yeshivas all over the world. In what sense are they considered a Mikdash Miyad? What do you mean? The real Beis HaMikdash is in Yerushalayim, and this is a miniature Beis HaMikdash. So the Gemara tells us in the end of Brachas that there is a din of Borah HaMikdash and Yidoshi Kiro. When we visit the Beis HaMikdash, we have to act with extreme derech eretz. And when we visit a shul, there is no din of Morah Beis HaKnesses, there is a din of Kvod Beis HaKnesses. We have a din of Kibud Aviyem, and we have a din of Morah Aviyem. Morah Aviyem means a deeper degree of Kibud. So in the Beis HaMikdash, which is the full Beis HaMikdash, there's a din of Morah HaMikdash. In the Beis HaKnesses, we don't have the din of Mora because it's only Mikdash Niyat, so we only have a din of Kovet. What exactly does that mean? So the Gemara says, in the end of Brachas, in the second of the Marmot premise, that when you go into the Har HaBayis, you're not permitted to wear your shoes, but when you enter a shul, you are permitted to wear shoes. But you're not permitted to use the shul as a kapandaria, as a shortcut. You want to get to the other side, so you're not allowed to cut through the shul if you don't plan to daven in the shul. So how did the Chachamim figure this out, that kapandaria is also in the shul, and to wear shoes and manol is mutter? So the Gemara says, keep beiso. It's the derech eretz that's required if you would be visiting someone else's home. If you would go to someone else's home, they wouldn't expect of you that you should take off your shoes. So in the Beis HaKnesses, you can keep your shoes on. Sheni came to Kapandaria, it's not their heritage. You use someone else's apartment as a cash and knock on the next door neighbor's door and say, I have to go through their apartment in order to get somewhere else. But that's a violation of their heritage. So the covet that's required in the shul is keep based on like if you would be visiting someone else's home. So Rav Soloveitchik explained that he thinks that the difference is the following. The Beis HaMikdash is Beis Hashem, or we visit the Rabbanu Shel Olam. The Beis HaKnesses is our bayis, where the Rabban Shalom comes to visit us. That's why the Gemara says that the kovet that's expected in the Beis HaKnesses is not like the Mora. Mora means a deeper degree of kovet. It's not like the Mora of the Beis HaMikdash, the Doshi Kiro, but it's a miniature Beis HaMikdash in the sense that we're getting together with the Shina, but instead of us visiting the Beis Hashem, the Rabban Shalom comes to visit us in our home. The Chai Yodam points out that there seems to be a significant dispute among the Rishonim regarding this din that the Gemara understood. The Gemara commented on the pasuk, "Va'ehem haMikdash Miyad." The Rakavish Bochus says that he will see to it that we will have a miniature Beis HaMikdash, miniature Bat Midrash is in Bavel, and this is alluding to Bat Midrashes and Bat Midrashes. Is this the real pshat in the pasuk? Is this a real din d'araisa, or is this only a remez, only an asmachta? So the Ran, if you look in the third of the Marmukhaim, is the very last line in that Ran. The Ran disagrees with the Ramban. We'll get to the Ramban's position a little later. So the last line he says, Afichach mirali, I disagree with the Ramban, that Beis HaKnesses, with the Chavoseh, Beis HaMedrash, Beis HaKnesses, Beis HaKnesses, Beis HaMedrash, only have a Kedushim with the Rabbanon, Midivrei, Kitil of Ochachami Kedushim Midivrei. The Ran apparently thinks that this comment that the Gemara made on his pasuk in Yecheskel is really only an asmachta. It's not the real pshat in the pasuk. Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, Kedushas Beis HaMedrash is only Midi Rabban. On the other hand, many Achronim point out that the Sefer Yireim writes explicitly that this is a din d'oraisa, that the Beis HaKnesses is Mikdash Miyat. Many Achronim point out that from the Rambam it would appear like that. So Beishi was fond of pointing out this Rambam that the Achronim had. That the Rambam in the big Sefer HaMitzvot, which was written in Arabic, and in the Mishneh Torah, which was written in Hebrew, in Hilchas Beis HaKnesses, Hilchas Tefillah, he never writes whether he thinks that Beis HaKnesses is the Raisa de Rabbanan. But in the Minyan HaMitzvah HaKotzer, which we assume was also written by the Rambam in Hebrew, in the abridged form of the Sefer HaMitzvah, in the long form he doesn't mention this, in the abridged form he adds on a line, which he doesn't have anywhere else, that we have it in, Rasasim Kein Lashem Elokeichem, is the fourth of the Maran Mekoymus. One is not permitted to be Noitetz Eben in HaMizbeach, to destroy anything in the Beis HaMikdash. So the Rambam says that this applies, it sounds like he holds this applies in our Torah, Sholo Lahabei Beis HaMikdash, Obot Tekneisiyos, Obot HaMidrashas. It seems from the Rambam that the din that Beis HaKnesses, Beis HaMikdash has the status of the Mikdash Miyad, is really a din deraisa. It seems to assume that it's included in the din deraisa of Losasim Kein Lashem Elokeichem. What exactly is the nature of this Kedusha? One should assume that it's Menat Torah. What is the essence of the Kedusha? So the Ramban is of the opinion, that's the whole long Arichas, the long 10 lines in the third of the Marmikonis. Ramban has in a few places, in his Svarim, on Megillah, and on Shabbos, and other places as well, he writes that the Gemara in Megillah, in the fifth of the Marmikonis, divides all of the religious articles that we use into two different categories. We have sometimes Tashmishi Mitzvah and sometimes Tashmishi Kedusha. A lulav and an esrog on Sukkot is a hook to the mitzvah. So you're not allowed to use it for your own purposes. It's also to use it for your own hanoah. The Sukkot is hook to the mitzvah. Sheikh Shachal Shem Shemaim Al Chagiga, Kalchal Shem Shemaim Al Sukkot. And the same is true regarding any object of a mitzvah. This man mitzvah, after this man mitzvah is up, what do you do with the lulav after the sukkah is over? What do you do with the skach after yontif is over? So the Gemara says you throw it in the garbage. The Shulchan Aruch quotes the Raiva that it's not proper to throw the esrog in the garbage together with the chicken bones. So you put the esrog in a plastic bag and then you throw it in the garbage. You don't put an esrog in it. And you shame it. You put it in the garbage. The Gemara says tashmishi mitzvah on this rocket after this man mitzvah is up. So the kedusha vanishes into thin air. As opposed to Tashmishi Kedusha, those, even after the Zman HaMitzvah is up, if you have a pair of tefillin, which is so possible that it can't be corrected, you have a mezuzah, you have a sefer Torah, you have a mental of a sefer Torah, so anything that's Tashmishi Kedusha, so those, even after the Zman HaMitzvah is up, can no longer be used. On the Gnozim, you have to put in shameless and treat it with respect. So the Ramban is of the opinion that a Beis HaKnesses only has Kedusha. The Torah's Tashmishi Mitzvah, Beis HaKnesses, is a structure that enables us to daven better. So davening is a mitzvah, like lulav is a mitzvah, like sukkah is a mitzvah. So since the shul helps us daven better, you daven b'tzibah, you daven in the makom kavua. So therefore, the shul has kedusha temporarily, like kal shem shamayim ala sukkah, like hooked to the mitzvah on the esrog. So the shul is also hooked to the mitzvah, this man mitzvah. When it comes to the time that everybody moves out of the neighborhood, nobody uses the shul anymore. So the Ramban is of the opinion that Minatar, the Kedusha, vanishes into thin air. And the whole discussion that the Gemara has in Masechet Megillah, that when you have a shul and everybody moved out of the neighborhood, that you have to sell the shul and then get the money and use the money to buy a Sefer Torah, whatever, this is all a Chumrim in the Rabbanah. Minatar, there is no such thing. It's not really Tashmishi Kedusha, it's really only Tashmishi Mitzvah. So that's exactly what the Ran disagrees. That's the last line in number 3 of the Marmikamis. Ran says, he quotes this from the Ramban, and he disagrees. He thinks that it's not so. He thinks that since the Gemara said that the Bati Kedusiyas, the Midrashas, in a certain sense constitute a Mikdash Miyad, so therefore it's a Tashmishi Kedusha. So how do we exactly define the difference between a Tashmishi Mitzvah and a Tashmishi Kedusha? The Gemara lists off the examples. The Gemara says, Tzitzis, Sukkah, Lulav, Shofar, these are Tashmishi Mitzvah. And what's Tashmishi Kedusha? Sefer Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzahs, and Ritzuas, and the mental of the Sefer Torah, and the Aron Kodesh, and so on. How did the Chachamim determine, how did the Tanaim determine what belongs, which religious articles belong under the category of Tashmishi Mitzvah, which belong under the category of Tashmishi Kedusha? So it's interesting, the Ramban in the end of Ma'ikotna, the end of Hilchas Avelos, quotes a dispute from the Tanoim. He quotes it from Maseches Mochos. Quotes a dispute that the Tanoim had. Is it permissible to bury a mace wrapped up in a talus? Our practice is that we do, but with pasul tzitzis. So that's neither here nor there. That's a first question, what that's all about. But in the days of the Tanaim, there was a machlokes. Is it permissible to bury a mace with a talis? What are they arguing about? So it doesn't explain in the Tanaim. So the Ramban suggests the machlokes at Tanaim is whether a talis is tashmishi mitzvah, tashmishi kedusha. As far as we're concerned, we know what it is. The Gemara says in the Gila, the fifth of the Marmakat, the Gemara says that a talis is tashmishi mitzvah. So how do we define, how do we know what's the definition of tashmishi kedusha? What's the definition of tashmishi mitzvah? So Rav Chaim Voloshin has in his classic Sefer, the Nefesh HaChayim, in one brief line, he gives you the definition. He says that the source of all kedusha is when something is close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Torah represents HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah is not merely Torah certainly is a collection of dinim. The Torah is a collection of 613 mitzvahs we have to observe. It's not just a metaphor, it's not just a melitza, but in addition to being a collection of dinim, the Torah is also a description of Elokus. The Torah is referred to in Sefer Shmuel as the Moshal HaKadmoini. Rashi and Parshas Mishpatim quotes that Kasher Yom HaMoshal HaKadmoini Merishayim Yetzei Resha. So Rashi quotes the Medrash that the Sefer Torah is the Mishol Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shiruv Kadmonu Shel Olam. And the Chavetz Chaim explains what it means is that it's a Moshal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Not only a Moshal authored by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but it's a Moshal of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Torah is a description of Elokus. So whatever is has a shaykhus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu has Kedusha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the source of all Kedusha. So Sefer Torah, Tefillin and Mezuzah have Divrei Torah written on them. They have Psukim written on them. So that's why we define, that's the definition of Tashmishi Kedusha. Whatever has Psukim, whatever has Tanakh written on it, that has Kedusha. And to the extent that you have Divrei Torah written, so to that extent it will have Kedusha. So take for example, the Mezuzah only has Shema V'Hayom Shema, has two parshios written. The Tefillin have four parshas written, Shema V'Hayom Shema plus Kadesh V'Yoki V'Yachal. So the halacha in the Gemara is that the Tefillin have a higher level of Kedusha than the Mezuzah. The Tefillin Shel Rosh have a slightly higher level of Kedusha than the Tefillin Shel Yad, because the Tefillin Shel Rosh have an additional letter, has a shin on the outside. The Gemara says that the shin on the outside is not Sama design, that's another ois of Divrei Torah. The Gemara says that the batin of the shalosh have to be made from or behemoth tahara, has to be made from hide from a kosher animal, based on the pasuk in Chumash, the man piyatar Hashem beficha min amuta beficha. Whenever you're writing Divrei Torah, so you can only write Divrei Torah on parchment and hide from a kosher animal. The ritzuis, the Gemara says, don't have any ICS of Torah. So that ritzuis have to be from or behemoth tahara. It's not based on that pasuk, "Man tiyater Hashem beficha min amuta beficha," but rather based on the halacha of Moshe Nisina that "Mehukshul malach shemaim alar behemet torah belvad." It's the Gemara in Bama Madlikin. So you see from the Gemara that the letter shin on the bayish al rosh is considered a nois of divrei Torah. So because just read in Pirkei Avos yesterday, if I learn divrei Torah from someone, I have to respect them, even if he only taught me ois achas. That's Talmud Torah, to learn one ois is Talmud Torah. If a person has the opportunity to learn a whole Masechta, he's not the ois of Talmud Torah by learning one ois. But if that's all he only has an opportunity to learn one ois. Thus, I say the Talmud Torah. So you have one ois in Tefillin Shel Rosh, more than Tefillin Shel Yad. So the Gemara says Tefillin Shel Rosh has a slightly higher level of Kedusha than Tefillin Shel Yad. And the Gemara has it in of Malam HaKodesh Velo Marid. The Gemara says that you're not permitted to convert the Tefillin Shel Rosh into a Tefillin Shel Yad. The reverse, you are permitted to do it. To convert the Shel Yad into a Shel Rosh is Mutar, that's considered Malam HaKodesh. The Shel Rosh has a higher level of Kedusha. And to convert the Shel Rosh into a Shel Yad would be a violation of Maridin that you're not permitted to do. So to the extent that you have the Torah written, to that extent you have Kedusha. You say the Torah has more parshios, has the four parshios of the Tefillin plus many, many more parshios. So Parshat is the Torah has a higher level of Kedusha than the Tefillin, which in turn has a higher level of Kedusha than the Mezuzah. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that if you look in the Rambam, in the 10th of the Marmekaimus, the punchline is missing in that quotation. It's in the three dots. The Rambam writes that the Torah records that HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded Moshe Rabbeinu to make an Aron Eitz, to make a special Aron Kodesh, to place the Luchas in, the Aseres HaDibur. So the Rambam writes, if you have to have a special Mokum Muchan, special Mokum Miyuchan to place the Luchas, so you certainly have to place a Sefer Torah in a special Mokum Miyuchan, because whatever is written in the Luchas, it appears in the Sefer Torah plus much more. What is the Rambam saying? So he sounds like he's saying that it's a regular Sefer Torah that we have, that's written today, a Sefer Torah that we have, Shnas Tav Shin Samachtes, has more Kedusha than the Luchas. If somebody will find the Luchas, it's priceless. Author's copy. The Ribbono Shel Olam engraved the Luchas. The Luchas are certainly more valuable, more precious than the Sefer Torah. But which one has more Kedusha al Pidin? So the Rambam sounds like he says that regular Sefer Torah has more Kedusha than the Aseres Adibras, because the Sefer Torah has the Aseres Adibras written plus much more. So to the extent that you have the Torah written, to that extent you have Kedusha. So getting back over here, so what is the basis of Kedusha's Beis HaMikdash? We say the Beis HaMikdash has Kedusha. We're saying that all the Batim Gedusias, the Batim Midrashas all over the world have the status of a Mikdash Miyad. Why does the Beis HaMikdash have Kedusha? If we should assume this premise of Rav Chaim Volozhiner, that all Tashmishi Kedusha, all in Yom Kedusha, stem from the fact that you have Divrei Torah written. So where do you have in the Beis HaMikdash? You have Psukim written on the walls. You don't have any Psukim on the walls. So Rav Soloveitchik explained that the essence of the Beis HaMikdash is the Kodesh HaKadoshim, where you have the Luchos. So because of the fact that the Mishkan is called Mishkan HaEdus, the Beis HaMikdash that Moshe Rabbeinu made is called Mishkan HaEdus because it houses the Luchos HaEdus. So that's why the Beis HaMikdash has Kedusha. Aye, but in the Vayishemi, we know that the Luchos were not there. The Psukim say in Divrei Yomim that Yoshio HaMelech, towards the end of the period of the Bais Rishon, hid the Luchos in the basement of the Beis HaMikdash, and the whole Tkufas Vayishemi, the Luchos, the Yorim of the Luchos were not there. And when the Kohen Gadol went in on Yom Kippur to do the Avodah, he would be sprinkling the blood in front of the location where the Luchas used to be. It would be the Evan Shasir was there. It's the Mokka Mechuban where the Luchas flagged at. The Luchas used to be there, but the Luchas were not there. So if we should assume that the essence of the Kedushas Beis HaMikdash stems from the fact that it's a place that houses the Luchas, so what happened during the period of Baal Sheni? So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, the Gemara in Yuma and Daf Nun Beis has different suggestions where were the Luchas. Fellow Indiana Jones is still looking for the Luchas. He claims that he's going to show us all where the Luchas are going. We hope it'll happen very soon. So the Gemara has different opinions in the days of the Tanoim. Where are the Luchas? That's interesting. The Rambam takes a stand on a historical issue. The Rambam in the 13th of the Marmakonis writes that when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, he had a ksav that was given to him by David HaMelech, Hakol b'ksav, Miyad Hashem Alay Haskel. He had to build the Beis HaMikdash exactly following the blueprints that were given to David HaMelech by the Novi. So the Rambam quotes from the Midrashim that included in the blueprints was a special vault in the basement to place the Luchas when the time will come that they have to be removed from the Kodesh HaKadosh. Then the Rambam adds on that the whole period of the Bais Sheni, the Luchas were there in the basement of the Beis HaMikdash. Why does the Rambam take a stand on a historical issue? The Tanoim have this debate, the Maseches Yuma, where were the Luchas, the whole period of the Bais Sheni, and the Rambam takes a stand. Usually in the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam only writes halachas, he doesn't write about history, unless the history is relevant to halacha. So Rav Soloveitchik thought, it was stuck on the Ortak Shir that was delivered in this auditorium. So Rav Soloveitchik thought that the Rambam felt that this was a halachic principle, that the reason why we assume that the Luchas were there in the basement of the Bais Sheni is because the whole essence, the Rambam thinks the whole essence of the Kedushas Beis HaMikdash stems from the fact that the Beis HaMikdash in Mishkan HaEdus, it houses the Luchas HaEdus. You can't have a Beis HaMikdash without any Luchas. The whole source, the whole Bakar of all Kedusha has to be from Divrei Torah. So that's why the Rambam adopted this position that when Shlomo HaMelech, based on Midrashim, based on Gemaras, when Shlomo HaMelech built the first Beis HaMikdash, included in the blueprint was that there was a vault in the basement to house the Luchas, not some. They took it out of the Kodesh HaKadosh and they put it somewhere else. No, this was the plan originally. When Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis HaMikdash, there were two Mekoymas in the Beis HaMikdash, there were two places to house the Luchas. One place was above the ground in the Kodesh HaKadosh. And when the time will come that's not acceptable, so then I have a vault in the basement to house the Luchas. And the whole Bais Sheni, the Rambam assumes the Luchas were there, because if the Luchas wouldn't have been there, it wouldn't have had a Kedushas Beis HaMikdash. So if we should assume like this, so how do you explain why a Beis HaKnesses has Kedusha? Are you supposed to understand how does Beis HaKnesses have Kedusha? The Ramban thinks it only has the status of Tashmishi Mitzvah. Beis HaKnesses is a building that enables us to daven better. davening is a mitzvah. So like a hook to the mitzvah by an esrei. So the Beis HaKnesses is a hook to the mitzvah. But the Ran and the Rambam seem to hold not. So they seem to hold that it's really a Mikdash Miatza. In what sense does the Beis HaKnesses have the status of a Tashmishei Kedusha? Why? Where do you have the Divrei Torah that the Kedusha should flow from the Divrei Torah? So Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, and others point this out as well, you have in the Sefer Barab Leib Malam, he has this as well, this Diuk in the Rambam, the 14th of the Marmikonis, the Rambam says, in Hilchas Tfila, when you build a shul, so you have to have, Ubonim bohecho sheminichem bo Sefer Torah. From the Rambam it would appear that if you only have a room, some offices, some businesses have in their office one room that's miyuchad for davening mincha, but they don't have a Sefer Torah there. So the Pashtus says that such a room that's miyuchad for davening, thank you, such a room that's miyuchad for davening would probably only have the status of a Tashmishi Mitzvah, like the Ramban said. The only reason why the Ran and the Rambam think that a Beis HaKnesses has the status of a Tashmishi Kedusha, the Rambam says is because Bonet Behecho Sheminim Bo Sefer Torah. If you have a shul that has an Aron Kodesh, that has a Sefer Torah in it, so the Kedusha of the Beis HaKnesses flows from the fact that you have a Sefer Torah. Just like Kedusha of Beis HaMikdash stems from the fact that you have the Aron HaBris with the Luchos HaEdus, with the Sefer Torah, Shekos HaMoshe, that we're reading in the Parsha of HaShavua now. So too the Kedusha of Beis HaKnesses as a status of a Tashmishi Kedusha, not just as a Tashmishi Mitzvah, stems from the fact that you have a Sefer Torah there. How would one explain the status of a Kedushas Beis HaMedrash? The Beis HaMedrash doesn't have to have any Sefer Torah. So I remember the Rav, when he delivered this Yortzeit Drasha, was talking about the Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. So he developed this whole thing that all Kedushas stem from the fact that you have the Torah, to the extent that you have the Torah written, that's how you have Kedusha. So he started to discuss the Torah, Tefillin, and Mezuzah, that's easy. And the Beis HaMikdash is easy. And the Beis HaKnesses is easy. How are you supposed to understand Kedusha Yisrael? How does a Jew have Kedusha Yisrael? So he says, also easy. Gemara says in Masechet Nida that the Malach teaches every baby Kol HaTarakul before the baby is born. And even though the Gemara continues to say that the Malach slaps the baby, that's in the 12th of the Marmikonis, the Malach slaps the baby, he forgets everything that he learned. But the Kedusha Yisrael remains because of the fact that the Malach taught him Kol HaTarakul. Okay, so he explained that also. Then how do you explain Kedusha Sa'aretz? Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha as opposed to Chutz La'aretz. Well, you have Pesukim written all over in Eretz Yisrael. A lot of yeshivas, a lot of shuls in Eretz Yisrael. But why does Eretz Yisrael have Kedusha? So I remember the Rabbi saying, what was the Mikdash of Eretz Yisrael the first time around? So the Kibush Ha'aretz, the Pesukim say in Tanakh, and Yeshua took 7 years to conquer Eretz Yisrael. And the Gemara in the end of Erechon has a tradition that just like it took 7 years to conquer Eretz Yisrael, so too it took 7 years to divide the Haluke of Eretz Yisrael. They must have had a lot of lawyers then. 7 years to divide Eretz Yisrael. So they divided the Mishvatim and the Mishpachas and the Yechidim. So that took 7 years. The conquering from the Lam of Aleph and Lachim took 7 years. And then the Haluke is Eretz Yisrael. The Haluke was the Gemara of the Kibush. That was Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael. So what does this have to do with Divrei Torah? If the Mekadosh was conquering the lands, what does it have to do with Divrei Torah? So remember the Rav screamed that in the middle of the shiur. Who was Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael? Who did the Kibush? Who did the Kibush? Everybody screamed that. Yeshua's Aron. So he said, no, the Aron HaBris. It says in Tanakh, it says in Yeshua, the Aron HaBris toilet with Nehem. And the Aron HaBris knocked down the enemy. So he says, what was Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael, the Kibush? Who did the Kibush? The Torah Shebachsav, the Aron HaBris, with the Luchas, the Kedusha Eretz Yisrael stems from the fact that the Kibush was done by the Aron HaBris. Then the Rav presented a problem. So how do you understand Kedusha Ezra? We paskin, we assume halacha l'maisa that the Kedusha Rishayna, the Kedusha Sa'aretz that was accomplished by Yeshua ben Nun, when the Aron HaBris conquered the land, together with the armies, Aron HaBris conquered the land, but that Kedusha was batla at the time of the Korban Bayis Rishon. So then when they came back in the beginning of the Bayis Sheni, there was no Kibush of Eretz Yisrael. There was no conquest at all. They didn't have an independent Jewish government until centuries later, till the Hashmonaim made their war. So there was no Kibush. So what was the Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael the second time? So the Rav developed the whole thing. It was Mesama the Torah Shebal Peh. It was Mekadosh of Eretz Yisrael. He didn't explain what he meant. What do you mean the Torah Shabbat Peh was Mekarshav? What does it have to do with Torah Shabbat Peh? How does Torah Shabbat Peh come in here? So the Rav didn't explain it. I assume that what he probably meant was the following. The Gemara tells us in Masechet Shabbos, Vayisyatzu v'sachti sahor, if you look at the 15th of the Ma'amekonis, so the Gemara has a comment, a tradition on that phrase. The Pashuk Shat and the Pasuk is Vayisyatzu v'sachti sahor, the Klal is all standing at the foot of the mountain, at the foot of Har Sinai. So the Gemara understands an additional level of interpretation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu picked up Har Sinai on top of the heads of the Bnei Yisrael, and he threatened them because they didn't really want to accept the Torah. They got frightened the last minute. They didn't want to accept the Torah. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu warned them, in the Kablam HaTemes HaTorah Mutom, Vimlav Shom Tei Kuras, you better accept the Torah or else. So the Gemara says, it was a Shvachet Kabbalah HaTorah. We can really, to go to a court of law, probably passed on that this was under duress, and it's not binding. That's Mikam Mador Rabbi L'Araisa. Mador means if an agreement is made under duress, under threat of losing your life, so such an agreement is not binding. So the Gemara says, Afa Pichain, even though the original contract on the occasion of Har Sinai was not binding because it was under threat of death, Hodi Kiblu Mimeach Hashverish. On the occasion of Nes Purim, Bnei Yisrael accepted the Torah out of their own free will, as it says, Kimu Likiblu, and Kimu has the connotation of, Kiblu has the connotation of Kabbalah Satur. So Kimu Likiblu means they ratified the original Kabbalah Satur that they had accepted at Har Sinai. So the Tosfos on that daf and Shabbos of Pinchas is bothered with the kasha. What do you mean HaKadosh Baruch Hu forced the Torah on Bnei Yisrael? That they didn't really want to accept it, and it was tough alayim har kibir. But the Chumash reports that all of Bnei Yisrael screamed out, Nasib and Ishma. Everybody said they want to accept the Torah. So what kind of a lashon is that? That they kof alayim har kibir? What do they have to force it on them? So regarding that Tosfos Kasha, Tosfos gives an answer. So on that Tosfos Kasha, there's a famous Medrash Tanchuma on Parshas Noyach that appears in the 16th of the Mar Mekoymes. Medrash Tanchuma starts off also Kof Aleim Har Kidigas, that the Torah was forced on the Jewish people. It's Yatzu V'Safta Sahar. Then the Medrash continues to say, what did the Rabbeinu Shalom force upon us? But we said Nasa V'Nishma. The Medrash asks Tosfos Kasha, in turn, our Torah should have said, Kof Aleim Sahar. What, he forced us to accept Torah Shabbat? No. Halom Yishor Shom Alahem Mikavla Matem Asa Torah Mikulam Yomim Asa V'nishna. Because learning Torah Shabbat is very easy. You want to keep Shabbos. You want to keep Taras HaMishpacha. You want to keep Kashrus. The way he says it, very easy. Life would be very, very easy. It's only the footnotes in the Mishnah Berurah with all the tiny letters in the Sharas here. Well, you know, Gemara in the Shulchan Aruch, all the Mefarshim, that's when it gets all complicated. So that's all the Torah Shabbat Peh. Poses all the problems. And that's what the Medrash Tanchuma says. The Nas of an Ishma, that was on the Torah Shiva Tzav, Shein Bo Yegiyo, the Tzar, it's not so difficult, the Himayat, it's not so much, not so voluminous. The answer is, but Esau didn't want to accept the Torah Shiva Peh, El Amalem Ala Torah Shiva Peh, She Yesh Bo Dikduke Mitzvahs Kalas Vachamurs, Ve Yasa Kamavus, Ve Kashi Kishol Kinosa. That's very difficult. So that Ben Esau didn't want to accept. And I was forced upon them, and that's Hodi Kiblu, Meah HaShverish, on the occasion of Nes Purim, ratified the acceptance of the Torah Shabbat Peh. So when did the Nes Purim occur? That was right before the tradition, the historical tradition has it, that was right before the Binyan of the Bayis Shem, right before the completed building, the second Beis HaMikdash. So I think that's probably what Rav Soloveitchik meant, that the Kiddush of Rishonah of Eretz Yisrael was accomplished through Torah Shabbat Tzav, because the Kiddush of Rishonah of Eretz Yisrael was accomplished through the Kibush. And who did the Kibush? The Tanakh says the Aron HaBris. So the Kedusha was created through Torah Shabbat Peh. Kedusha Shnia of Eretz Yisrael was created through the Torah Shabbat Peh. What Torah Shabbat Peh? When Torah Shabbat Peh? So I think what he probably meant was the ratifying of the Torah Shabbat Peh, the Hodi Kiblu B'Meah HaShverish, the reacceptance of the Torah Shabbat Peh, this time the Ratzon out of Abbas Hanes. So that accepting of the Torah Shabbat Peh was what was Mekadosh Eretz Yisrael the second time around. Then the Rav suggested, maybe this is the reason why the Kedusha Rishonah was Batla and the Kedusha Shnia was Loi Batla. The Rambam writes a different explanation. Rambam has a different explanation why, but the halacha is like that. At the time of Churban Bayis Rishon, the whole Kedusha Eretz Yisrael was Batla, and for 70 years, there was no Kedusha Eretz. And when Ezra and Nehemiah came back and they built the second Beis HaMikdash, they endowed Eretz Yisrael with Kedusha the second time around. So that Kedusha was like Bata. That Kedusha is still present today. So the Rav suggested that maybe that's the difference between the two Kedushas. Kedusha Rishonah was accomplished with Torah Shabbat. The Kedusha Shni was accomplished with the Torah Shabbat Peh. But he didn't elaborate any further. He didn't explain it. I thought perhaps the Biur HaDvarim is the following. Rav himself has, in the recent volume that was just published by some of the people who are attending today, the recent volume in Yiddish of the collection of the Roshes of the Rav. So the Rav has there a fascinating kasha, which he works on. The Gemara says in the end of Maseches Moedkotin that the number 8 of the Marmukhans, also the punchline is missing, there's three dots on there. Okay. So the Gemara says, one who sees a Sefer Torah being burned has to rip Kriya twice, because when the Sefer Torah is burned, so the cloth is being destroyed and the osiyos are being destroyed. So you have to rip Kriya on this side and that side, you have to rip Kriya twice. So you see, when you burn a Sefer Torah, you destroy not only the parchment, you destroy the osiyos as well. Then on the other hand, you have a Gemara in Avodah Zarah, number 7 of the Marmukhanis. The Gemara says, when a Hananiah ben Trabian was giving a public shir, he had a Sefer Torah on his lap and he was giving a shir. So the Romans took him, it was prohibited by the law to teach Torah in public. So the Romans took him, wrapped him up in a Sefer Torah, and they burnt him alive. So the Talmidim who were present at the time saw that the Talmidim had tried, his eyes were jumping, he was looking at something, he was staring in the air. They didn't understand what was he looking at. So they asked him, Rebbe, what are you watching? What are you looking at? So he says, he sees Sefer Torah Nisrof, the Gvilon and Nisrofim, he sees Osias Parchas Vavir. He sees that the Osias are not being destroyed. That's what he sees, the letters are jumping in the air. So the Rav presented this as Akash. On the one hand, Allah assumes when you burn a Sefer Torah, so not only does the parchment get destroyed, the Osias get destroyed as well. The other Gemara says, not so. When you burn a Sefer Torah, only the parchment is destroyed. The Osias are Parchas Vavir. So the Rav developed Al Derech Hadrash. The Rav developed a whole Terech on this Al Derech Hadrash. A very interesting suggestion. So I thought, Al Derech Halochen, not Al Derech Hadrash, a different explanation why. It depends whether you're talking about Torah Shebichtav or Torah Shebalpeh. Torah Shebichtav is a physical, tangible object. A piece of shtender you can burn, you can destroy. A building, a chalila, you can burn, you can destroy. So if you're talking about a Sefer Torah, Sefer Torah is Torah Shebichtav. When you burn it, you destroy the cloth and you destroy the osiyos as well. When the Gemara says that the Rav Chanina ben Tragin, his eyes were jumping, and the students asked him, what are you watching? He didn't mean osiyos parchas vavir, osiyos of the Sefer Torah. He had a Sefer Torah on his lap, he was reading Sukkim, and he was commenting. And then they wrapped him up in the Sefer Torah, and they burned him alive with the Sefer Torah. So he didn't mean that Osius Parchas Bavir from the Sefer Torah. He meant the Osius Parchas Bavir from the Drush of the Torah Shabbat Peh, from the Shir that he was giving. Torah Shabbat Peh belongs to the world of ideas. It's not a tangible object. It's not a Sheish Bo Mamish. The world, an idea can't be destroyed. So I thought maybe that's the Biur. Maybe that's what Rav Soloveitchik meant over here. That the Drush of Rishonah of Eretz Yisrael was accomplished through Torah Shabbat Sav, so it can't be superior to the Torah Shabbat Sav itself. So Torah Shabbat Zav is a tangible entity which lends itself to destruction. So the Kedusha Rishonah lent itself to destruction as well. So when the Churban came and the Kibush was undone, so the whole Kedusha Torah vanished into thin air. But the Kedusha Shnir, which was based on Torah Shabbat Peh, so Torah Shabbat Peh belongs to the world of ideas. It doesn't lend itself to destruction. It's not a Dabash Yesh Bom Mamish. That's why the Kedusha Shnir was Kitchalot Elot. That's why the Kedusha Shnir cannot be bought. So remember, the Rav delivered this theme, and it's printed in the collection of the Yahrzeit Drushes, one of the volumes of the Yahrzeit Drushes. I'm wondering, what do you mean? You can have a Kedusha through a Torah Shabbat Peh? What kind of a work is that? I understand. You have something tangible. You have a mezuzah. It has Shema V'Hayom Shema. You have Tefillin. You have Parshas. Four Parshas. You have the Luchas. You have a Sefer Torah. You have the Torah written on. You have a Bayi Shalosh. You have a Shin. You have something tangible has Ursius written. How do you know you have a right to say such an idea that because we're learning Torah Shabbat Peh, because we're in the Kabbalah Torah Shabbat Peh, so therefore we can in the Kaddish something. Eretz Yisrael has Kedusha because of the fact that Bnei Yisrael were Mekabel Torah Shabbat Peh Beratzon before being the Kaddish Eretz Yisrael. But that's the Dovah Shein Bo Mamash. The Pashtas, I thought, said, rub me the wrong way. Remember when the Rav sent the shir? Where do you have a marker that you have a right to say such a thing? The Torah Shabbat Peh, which is not a Dovah Sheesh Bomam, it's not a tangible object, can be Makadish something. So years later, I noticed there's a Taisis in Nazir. Taisis in Nazir is apropos to nothing on that Daf in Nazir. It has nothing to do with anything else on the Daf. Taisis in Nazir gives you the contrast between Kedushas Beis HaKnesses and Kedushas Beis HaMedrash. So Taisis says, Kedushas, this is also in the Maror HaKoymos, number 9. The Gemara there talks about two Torahs, Torah Shabbat Sab and Torah Shabbat Peh. And I got it in Nazir. So Taisis says, the Kedusha of the Beis HaKnesses stems from the fact that you have a Sefer Torah in the Beis HaKnesses. Exactly what that Rambam said, number 14. That they won't have a Kedusha Beis HaKnesses unless you have an Aron Kodesh with a Sefer Torah. The fact that you daven there, that's only enough to give you the status of Tashmishi Mitzvah. But if you want the Beis HaKnesses to have the status of Tashmishi Kedusha, so you have to have an Aron Kodesh with a Sefer Torah. So Tosha says the Kedusha Beis HaKnesses stems from the fact that you have Torah Shabbat Sab there. The Kedusha Beis HaMedrash stems from the fact that people learn Torah Shabbat Peh there. So Tosha says like that. And it's interesting, in the end of the Gemara Megillah, the Gemara has a Machloikas HaMaroim. We have a din that Malam HaKodesh V'lo Marim. Like we said before, you're not permitted to convert a Tefillin Shel Rosh into a Tefillin Shel Yad, but the reverse is permissible to convert the Shel Yad into a Shel Rosh. It's okay because the Shel Rosh has a higher level of Kedusha than a Shel Yad. So the Gemara in the end of Megillah has a Machloikas HaMaroim, Machloikas Rav Yochanan, Rav Yeshua Ben Levi, which has a higher level of Kedusha. Should we assume a Shul has a higher level of Kedusha or a Beis HaMedrash? Which are you permitted to convert into which? You say you're allowed to convert a Shul into a Beis HaMedrash, but the reverse not? Or are you permitted to convert a Beis HaMedrash into a Beis HaKnesses? The Gemara has a Machlokes, and the conclusion of the Gemara is you're permitted only in one direction. You're only permitted to convert a Beis HaKnesses into a Beis HaMedrash. Beis HaMedrash has a higher level of Kedusha. So why did the Gemara assume that they have a different level of Kedusha? If you would have asked me, I would have said, Mikdash Miyad, they're both a Mikdash Miyad, they both have the same level of Kedusha. No, the Gemara assumes both Amarayim assume. The Beis HaKnesses and the Beis HaMedrash have two different levels of Kedusha, and they argue which is the higher, which of the two is the higher level of Kedusha. And the Maskan is that the Beis HaMedrash is the higher level of Kedusha. So it's interesting. The way Tosis writes in Nazir, that the Kedusha is Beis HaKnesses, flows from the fact, stems from the fact, that you have a Sefer Torah, that you have a Torah Shabbat Sab. As opposed to the Kedusha is based on Medrash, that stems from the fact that they learn Torah Shabbat Peh there. So the Maskanas of Mara is that Torah Shabbat Peh has a higher level of Kedusha than the Torah Shabbat Sab. Interesting. That's why the Beis HaMedrash has a higher level of Kedusha than the Beis HaKnesses. Exactly how are you supposed to be Mekadish the Beis HaMikdash? But the Chumash describes in the days of Moshe Rabbeinu when they built the Mishkan, how they were Mekadoshim. They had the Shiddus Me'am Yiluim, then they had Yud Beis Nisim, Nasi Echa Layom. They brought special Kavanos. So it's interesting, the Ramban writes on Chumash, in his commentary on Chumash, at the end of Parshas Naso, number 19 of the Maror HaKoymos, that he thinks that this is a mitzvah min HaTorah, this is a mitzvah of Doros. Whenever you build the Beis HaMikdash, we haven't built so many Bati Yudoshes in the past. Whenever you build the Beis HaMikdash, there's an obligation to celebrate on the occasion. So the Ramban points out, when Moshe Rabbeinu built the Mishkan, so they celebrated for 7 days, Shivat Yemei Milui. When Shlomo HaMelech built the Beis Rishon, it says that they celebrated Shivas Yamim and Shivas Yamim. It says in the Gemara, they ate on Yom Kippur that year. Shivas Yamim did 7 days immediately preceding the 7 days of Sukkot, and they were bringing korbanos and eating. So the Gemara said, they ate on Yom Kippur. And the Gemara made a Kal V'chaymer. In the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, they were machal Shabbos for the Chanukah Sa'am Migdash. And Shabbos is more common than Yom Kippurim. So certainly you're permitted to eat on Yom Kippur, the covered celebration of Chanukah's Bais Rishon. Then the Pesukim say when they built the second Beis HaMikdash, so they celebrated for 3 weeks. Then it says in Yecheskel, when they're going to build the third Beis HaMikdash, we'll be celebrating for over 6 months, starting from Rosh Chodesh Nissan. It doesn't say which year. We hope. Tavshinayin, Habor, Lehem, Tov. So So the Pesukim in Yechezkel said that when the third Beis HaMikdash will be built, we'll start to bring special, in addition to the Tevilim and Musafim, we'll bring special Karbanis, L'Kovet B'Chanukas HaMikdash, starting from the Chodesh Nisan through after Sukkot. It's over 6 months of celebration. So the Ramban writes, he thinks that this is a Din L'Doris. Exactly how many days he should celebrate? 7 days, 14 days, 3 weeks, half a year, and how many Karbanis, and who should bring Karbanis? And which nigunim to sing, which rabbi should give which drasha at which time, these are details, that's why you are sure. But in principle, the din l'doris is a mitzvah l'doris, that whenever you build a Beis HaMikdash, whenever you build a mishnah, whenever you build a Beis HaMikdash, so there's a mitzvah in HaTorah to celebrate. It's interesting that if one should assume, like you have some rishonim, how you often quoted the Sefer Yireim, we mentioned the Rambam seems to hold like that as well, that the status of Mikdash Miyat, of the Bati Knesses, of the Midrashas, is really Minatara, it's not just the Ras Makta. So in the Tshuva say to the Galia Masechta, the Rav David of Navardeke, he was a contemporary of Rav Chaim Volozhiner. So the Galia Masechta, he writes that he thinks that this mitzvah Minatara applies whenever you complete the building of the Shul or a Beis HaMikdash. There's a mitzvah Minatara to celebrate the cover the occasion. And then he proceeds to say, when they built the Beis HaMikdash, how exactly were they Mekadosh the Beis HaMikdash? They had a whole ceremony. So the Mishnah describes in Shavuos, Masechah Shavuos, number 17 of the Amar Mekaymas, that when you build the Beis HaMikdash and you bought him in Mekadosh Yerushalayim, you have to be Mekadosh the Azara separately, Mekadosh Yerushalayim separately. So to be Mekadosh Yerushalayim, you have to have Melech, Novi, Urim Betumim, Sanhedrin, Shtei Tovus of the Shir. You have to bring a Korban Toda, and you have to recite Pirkei Tehillim. So the Galim HaSechta writes, we built Bati Knesses, Bati Midrashas. He says, by Menasein Haram, we don't have the Melech, we don't have the Novi, we don't have the Urim Betumim, we don't have the Sanhedrin, but we have the Toda. And it proceeds to print the whole drasha that he gave on the Korban Toda, the halachas of Korban Toda. The Chachamim tell us, number 20 of the Marmikaymas, the Gemara says that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu promises Avraham Avinu he's going to give Eretz Yisrael to his descendants, to the Jewish people, we have Eretz Yisrael. So Avraham Avinu asks, "Bamo eda ki ir Hashemi?" So the simple pshat is, how do I know you're going to keep your word? So the Gemara does not understand the law. How do I know you're going to keep it? Maybe you're going to back out. So the Gemara understands, "Bamo eda beiz eschus." What mitzvah should we be medaktik about that we should have the right to maintain violence over Eretz Yisrael? So the Baruch Shalom answers, "Kol liyegim mishaleshes, diskus ha-karbanos." Then Avraham Avinu asks HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that's good, this man should be samikdosh ha-yakayim. What's going to be in 1948 when you have no Beis HaMikdash? So what schus will we have to maintain ownership over Eretz Yisrael? So the Baruch Shalom tells Avraham Avinu, "Neshama farmsa senu." Speak about the Karbonis, Amal Ami Alechem, Kilu He Krachtem. Misham Lachom Sosen is a real Din Deraisa. Rabbeinu Yonah says that reciting Karbonis is a Din Deraisa. Usually in all the shuls, everybody comes late and everybody starts in Baruch Shalom. You shouldn't leave out Karbonis. If you're a Zionist, if you want to maintain ownership over Eretz, you've got to say Karbonis. That's a Din Deraisa. The Baruch Shalom told Avraham Avinu, but whatever the Baruch Shalom says, that's a Din Deraisa. So that's what the Gali Masechta says. When we want to be Mekadosh Bati Knesses, about the Midrashas, it says, by the Nesein HaRabim, the Melech, the Novi, the Urim HaTumim, and the Sanhedrin, we don't have. But the Toida we can have, we can recite Mitzvah L'Soida, and we can learn the Dinim, we can recite the Mishnayos, we can recite the Mishnayos, and we can learn the Dinim, and he proceeds to give up. He writes down a whole drasha that he gave on the occasion of the Chanukah's Beis HaMedrash. In his community, he lived in Navardeke, Governor Navardeke. It's interesting. It really only makes sense to have a Korban Toidah when you're Mekadosh Yerushalayim. Because the Korban Toidah is Kachim Kam, can only be eaten in Yerushalayim, cannot be eaten outside of Yerushalayim. So the Mishnah describes they had Shtei Todos, two Korbanos Toidah. And they had members of the Sanhedrin would be walking next to each other. Each one would have part of the Korban Toda, so those who were standing, and they would walk around the border of the area that they just added on to endow with Kedushas Yerushalayim. So the Mishnah says that the one who was carrying the outer rabbi, member of the Sanhedrin, who was carrying a piece of the flesh of the Korban Toda, that would have to be burned, that would be Nitzol B'Yotze. because that's exactly where the border was. And the one who's carrying the part of the carbon toida, the flesh of the carbon toida, on the inside, on the left side, on the inside side, so that would be eaten later. So this makes sense to be Mekadosh and Shalayim with the carbon toida, because toida shows that this area was endowed with Kedushas Yerushalayim. You can only eat a toida in Yerushalayim. If you'll take it Yotze, it'll be Nipsal Yotze if you take it Bachutz. A carbon toida, what shaykhus does it have with what the Kinesias of Batim and Rosh Hashanah Bavo? We're Legami Chutz La'aretz. So, even though it doesn't really make sense, but nonetheless, you have the Tosfos and Erechim, number 18 of the Ma'amakamis. Mora has an expression there. We know that there is an institution of Kedusha, Sayoros, Amakav, Schom, and Meroys, Yeshua, Minun. It has a higher level of Kedusha than the rest of Eretz Yisrael. That Mitzrayim are not permitted to enter any of the Ayoros on the Kavasan. Not only not permitted to enter Yerushalayim, and Mitzrayim is not permitted to enter any of the Ayoros on the Kavasan. So the Gemara has an expression, when Yeshua ben Nun came, they were Mekadosh Ayoros on the Kavasan. And when Ezra came, they were Mekadosh again, Ayoros on the Kavasan. How exactly were they Mekadosh Ayoros on the Kavasan? So Tosis points out, that Rashi writes there in Erechim, Pirush Rashi Kam, the way to be Mekadosh Ayoros on the Kofes Soima is by bringing your carbon toida. It's a pellet, carbon toida. What shaykhus does it have with Ayoros on the Kofes Soima? It's nowhere near Yerushalayim. The whole carbon toida is going to be Nifson. But they're going to bring the carbon toida in Yerushalayim to be Mekadosh Ayoros on the Kofes Soima. It's unclear. Then Tosis proceeds to hear Rashi himself in Shavuos writes, he doesn't know how to be Mekadosh Ayoros on the Kofes Soima. But this idea from the Galia Masechta that the way to be Mekadosh, but the Kinesias of Batim and Drashas, is by reciting Mizmor Lesoida, by learning the Dinim of Korban Toida, this is based on the assumption like the Rashi and Erechim, that to bring a Korban Toida will be helpful to be Mekadosh, not only Yerushalayim, even Ayoros HaMekadosh Chaim. So that's why it should have a Shaykhus as well with what the Kinesias of Batim and Drashas. The Achrenim quote a practice based on a passage in the Zohar that when you build a shul, so the bima where you're going to learn Kriyas HaTorah from should be on an elevated platform, similar to Maimon HaSina, that the Torah was given to Bnei Yisrael from on top of the mountain. So the Achrenim say, also based on the Zohar, that's only in a Beis HaKnesses. So the rest of the Beis HaKnesses is miyuchad for davening, and that location, the bima, which is the emtza, where you're going to learn Kriyas HaTorah from, so that should be an elevated platform, dugmas maimon hasina, that's on top of the mountain. If you have a Beis HaMedrash, like we have the Beis HaMedrash here, so we don't have a bima, an elevated platform in the middle, well, the whole essence of the Beis HaMedrash is miyuchad for learning, so the whole Beis HaMedrash is the top of the mountain, the whole thing is the top of Harsina, so you don't need that the bima should be on an elevated platform. So that's why in the new Beis HaMedrash as well, we didn't make an elevated platform for the bima. We hope that the entire Beis HaMedrash will serve as the top of Har Sinai, the Liman HaTorah. Thank you very much.